Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking buy your first rental property with Roofstock.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
I can't tell you how many people that I talk to, especially I think the younger millennials, who are really super interested in rental real estate, almost more so than buying their first home, you know, using the rental real estate to either get appreciation in a place that then you can take cash out and buy really the house that you want to live in, or you just actually really want to build a rental real estate portfolio. And I think the cool thing is that technology is making that so much more accessible to us these days. So I had a chance to speak with Gary Beasley, who is the CEO and co-founder of this company called Roofstock. And they are the leading online marketplace for investing in single family rental homes. And what I love about Roofstock is that it makes it easy and affordable for just about anyone. In fact, they say their starting price is about $20,000 to kind of get in there, get in the rental real estate game. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Gary and his tips about what you need to know about getting into buying your first rental real estate property. All right, Gary, I am so excited to have you on the podcast and to talk all about this hot topic of investing in real estate.
Great to be here.
So you run a company called Roofstock. And before we talk all about Roofstock, I was just wondering if we could have a little discussion about, you know, this hot topic about investing in real estate, especially for millennials. It seems to be something that, you know, they're more interested in doing more so than just buying their first home. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's a number of reasons for that. One is affordability. We have a lot of clients on Roofstock, our website, or who don't own their first home but are renting in high-cost markets like LA or San Francisco, New York City, Seattle, they'll look on our site and see what you could buy for $100,000. And at first they'll think, is that the down payment? No, that's actually the entire amount. So for, say, $20,000 down, you could actually own a home in some of these other lower-cost markets. And so I think it's really appealing for people who have been priced out of the markets where they live to actually get on the property bandwagon in a way that actually cash flows for them.
Interesting. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Roofstock, kind of how it started and the direction it's going.
We've been around for 2 years. The idea was originally the brainchild of Gregor Watson, my co-founder. He had about 500 homes he was trying to sell from one of his funds. It happened to be in Dallas. And the first realtor he called said, honey, I don't have 500 signs. I can't sell those for you. These were leased homes. They were cash flowing. The next broker said, when can you get the people out of them so we could sell them? And that wasn't the idea. So Gregor came up with the idea of creating a marketplace for leased rental homes so they could be sold at a very low cost to investors, individuals, or institutions. He talked to me about the idea. At the time, I was running a public company that owned about 15,000 rental homes in a REIT structure. And I was really interested in the idea because we were looking to sell some homes and realized it was pretty inefficient to have to vacate them and sell them. And so really, Gregor and I got together, built out the business plan, raised some venture capital a couple years ago, and Roofstock was born.
Awesome. And now you're in 14 different markets. Tell me a little bit about those markets and kind of how you decide where to go in.
We try to provide a variety of markets for investors. We are in LA. We're up here in the Bay Area. Some of our more popular markets, though, are markets like Florida, Central Florida, Jacksonville, Dallas. Memphis has become a really interesting market. Atlanta, yeah. Indianapolis. And these are markets where you can get a lot of house for, say, $100,000, and the yields tend to be much higher in some of these lower price markets than they are in some of the more populous or more expensive metros.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, the process with Roofstock. You know, if a lot of young investors in particular are kind of thinking, you know, how do I go about, you know, getting into the real estate investing market? And with a company like Roofstock, you know, I think there's a little kind of trepidation, like, you know, what's the process? What if I don't know the market? What sort of data do you provide for the investors so they can feel comfortable with the purchase?
Well, we provide a lot of data through our site. We do market research, which we make available. We're constantly doing blogs and things like that as we learn about neighborhoods and things. We introduced a neighborhood rating system that we just announced last week, which ranks all the neighborhoods in the country 1 to 5 stars. So you can start to really understand the kind of the risk return trade-off with real estate. I would say for millennials, it's really, as any, it would more broadly apply to anybody, but really know your time horizon, understand and appreciate your appetite for risk and return, because the more risk you're willing to take with any investment, the more potential return you could earn. But you have to really understand that if you take a little bit more risk, you probably will have a little bit more volatility and variability in your outcomes. So just really understanding that. The nice thing about millennial investors is the time horizon tends to be pretty long.
Sure. Yeah.
So you can maybe take a little bit more risk as you think about allocating, say, equity to debt. You know, as you get older, a lot of financial planners will say put more and more into fixed income and less equity risk. What's I think unique about real estate and in particular rental properties like this, it's very much like a bond with an equity kicker, because you get a nice current yield off of the rent, but then as the homes appreciate in value over time, that's your equity piece. And you can get a nice balance of return where it has debt-like safety and security oftentimes, because you have part of your return coming from from current yield, but then you also have really nice appreciation potential as properties could appreciate over time. And I'd say the other thing I would say for millennials who might be thinking about getting on the property bandwagon with a rental property is really consider markets that are outside of where you live. Because you don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. We've seen too many this story too often, where somebody works in, say, a tech company. There's a downturn. There's a problem with their job. There's a problem with their primary residence. Problem with their rental properties because they're all in the same place. So think about markets that might be uncorrelated to where you live. We do have advisors here who can talk to people if they'd like to get a little bit more feedback and color on different markets around the country. They can help put together representative portfolios with different risk profiles, things like that. So some people could just come and do all the research themselves, either through Roofstock, and we'll link to other sites, and there's plenty of other places to go to do research on markets. But then there's always someone here that folks can talk to as well if they'd like to, get a little bit more of a human on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's such great advice. You guys, so many great nuggets in there. I think the question people always are asking too, I get this a lot, is, how much should I expect in cash flow? I mean, and I know it obviously varies wildly, but is there some sort of averages or a feel that people could get for, what sort of return they might have?
Sure. So I could tell you on our site what the typical returns look like. And there you could obviously get higher or lower returns. But I would say the typical return on our site, again, it depends on the market, but somewhere between, on a net basis after all of your costs, without debt, would be in the 5 to 6.5 or 7% range. So call it 5 to 7% net. Mm-hmm. And that's after property management costs, repair and maintenance, everything. You could put financing on it and increase that to call it 7 to 9% with debt. So your return on equity could be higher. And then you have your appreciation, and that's the wild card. If properties go up in value 3 or 4% a year, and you've got an 80% loan on it, you get some really nice leverage on the home price appreciation. So if the asset value is going up at 3%, it's considerably higher on your equity. So that, again, as you think about what's important, you could get a more expensive home, say in the LA area, but it might be a $300,000 or $350,000 home, or your net yield might be 4.5 or 5%, but it might have really nice appreciation potential as you build equity in a market where there's very little supply being added. There's a lot of job growth. Mm-hmm. It's an iconic global city. Or you could go to a place like Atlanta or a Memphis or an Indianapolis, where you can get a 6+% current yield. But you may not get the same kind of level of appreciation that you might get in a place like LA.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, EarnIt provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. EarnIt is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the EarnIt app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use EarnIt in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make EarnIt a part of your financial routine and join EarnIt's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about EarnIt, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download EarnIt today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIt app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. EarnIt is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/etm. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Everyone knows that putting money aside in savings is really important. But then what? Should you keep your savings locked in a CD for a higher rate or keep them liquid in a money market? Can your checking account help you save too? Or is it about creating the right combination? We believe real banking is a conversation. Let's talk about the savings options that are right for you. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com. Member FDIC.
But again, it all depends on your horizon and what your goals are.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think, you know, a lot of times people think they need to invest in these, you know, these big markets, the LA, New York, Chicago, you know, markets like that. But, you know, there's definitely viability to these smaller places, like you said, Memphis and Indianapolis. And, you know, it's just, it's a little maybe different focus, but it's certainly a way to get your foot in the door and at least start building a portfolio.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other reasons we started Roofstock, it was very difficult for investors to actually pull the trigger and execute on investments in different markets, because you would have to fly there, find local brokers, you'd have to make a bunch of offers, you'd have to oftentimes renovate the homes after you buy them, find a property manager, get it leased, and deal with all that hassle. And it's expensive and time consuming. What we did was instead went to the source, and what all the homes that are fully certified on our site through our marketplace are leased already. They're already cash flowing. And as you buy them, they get transferred over, they either stay with the existing property manager or you choose another property manager at checkout and it gets transferred over. So you don't have to deal with the hassles of actually ever physically going there or dealing with any of the management issues. It's all handled for you by local property managers who we certify and hold accountable for good service. And we have an app.
Whoops, I think I might have lost you there. Are you still there?
Yeah, did I lose you?
Yeah, I lost the last bit there.
Okay, where did I lose you?
You lost me at, or you could pick a new property manager.
Yeah, so or you could pick a new property manager at checkout, and they handle everything for you post-closing. So all the leasing, repairs and maintenance, any collection issues, that's all handled locally by property managers we certify. And we hold them accountable for good service for clients who buy through our site. So very much trying to separate this whole concept of needing to understand operations versus just wanting to make an investment. That's one of the, I think, key elements of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, I think, with, you know, fintech and technology advancing and things like that. I mean, it's really making it viable for kind of the average, if you will, investor to get in the game, right?
Absolutely. They're really fundamentally what we're trying to do at Roofstock is democratize real estate investing. And we're starting with rental properties, and our fees are quite low. And since we charge the sellers a very low fee, they pass some of that along in the form of being willing to sell at fair prices to buyers. Buyers can come in. And we also charge very low fees on both ends of the marketplace, because what we're trying to do is create liquidity and allow access and really the ability for retail investors to have the same tools and analytics that big institutional investors might have been privy to in the past. We bring all that really to our customers and do it in a way that hopefully is pretty intuitive and simple. And sort of break down those barriers to investing in the asset class.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So last question, if someone is interested in, you know, getting on board with Roofstock, what's the process like?
So the easiest thing to do is just go to roofstock.com and start tooling around, start looking at properties, doing some research on homes, maybe putting some things in your basket. It's very much of an e-commerce environment. You're not buying anything until you actually check out, but you could put some things in your cart. You could compare properties. And I would suggest it's a very simple registration process. You just put in your name and it's a little bit of information. Then you could get access to the diligence materials on these homes and then go through and actually look at some of the valuation reports and inspection reports and get a sense for the type of information that's there and the type of homes that might be appealing. And then, you could reach out or we'll reach out to you, chat with one of our counselors who can talk through your strategy, answer any questions you have. It's a very much low pressure situation. Our advisors are really there to provide advice. It's not a sales heavy culture here. Right. What we're really trying to do is introduce the asset class to people in a way that's helpful. So hopefully we can be a resource, whether it's just through our online tools or from our folks who can provide some insights.
And do you see, I've got one follow-up. Do you see a lot of people?
Only one more question.
Sorry. I know, right? Right. I'm going to eat my words. Do you see a lot of people who, go ahead and maybe make kind of a smaller purchase and then, hold that purchase for a little while and then, decide to get in and buy some more with you guys?
Yeah, that's typically what happens. The average investor today is buying almost two homes from us. They'll start off with one. It'll get closed. They'll get their first, rent check or two, and then they'll typically buy another one. That's very common. Once you go through the financing process for the first time, there's great Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac products for investor financing. It's pretty attractive. It's pretty easy to do. Once you get approved doing successive properties, it's that much easier because all your information's already in there, and we can hook people up with lenders who make those loans through our site. It's quite easy. But yeah, that's typically the way people do it. They'll start with a purchase, make sure our site is legit, make sure everything works. They start to actually get their cash flow. Then they say, okay, I'm going to buy a couple more.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Gary, thank you so much for sharing the wisdom. I know this is, like I said, definitely a hot topic.